The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Derek Frost from North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from Triangle Business Journal. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties. With its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. And we'll start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with the cover story headline, Biotech and Pharma Have Put the Triangle on the Map. It's Time to Take the Sectors to the Next Level, Future of Life Sciences. And the article begins inside the Triangle Business Journal with the second headline, What's Next for Life Sciences? Companies Look for Investment as Manufacturing Ramps Up. And this is written by Zach Ezome. The Triangle is riding a wave of major investments in life sciences, with companies such as Novo Nordisk, Amgen, and Fujifilm Biotechnologies investing billions in new manufacturing facilities. Employment in North Carolina's life sciences industry grew 23% from 2019 to 2023, with the number of jobs exceeding 100,000 in an industry known for paying well. This is one of the highest growth rates in the country, outpacing the nationwide figure of 15% and just behind Massachusetts at 26%. But beneath the surface are challenges, primarily in how investment in research and development is lagging. And for those with a feel for the pulse of where investment dollars are flowing, that spells concern for a market built on innovation happening in Research Triangle Park and at the region's academic institutions. The Triangle's universities, the primary engine for innovation in the region, face funding cuts and uncertainty around the future of federal research dollars. The Triangle also lacks the venture capital dollars of other major biotech hubs, which puts further pressure on startups forming out of universities. So as the state secures major manufacturing projects, the research and development arm of the local industry is not seeing the same growth. My rally cry to this area is we're incredible at innovation in certain areas, and innovation is going to be the thing that helps us stand out, said Dave Austerout, a partner at Cape Fear BioCapital, a venture firm based in Durham with a focus on therapeutics companies. We're going to get venture investment. We're going to have exits. We're going to deliver our science to patients. We just have to stay focused on that. But the patterns appear to be shifting. More investment is flowing away from riskier bets. Vacancy rates are creeping up, and more big successes, such as biotech company AskBio, are needed. Funding environment. Ben Scruggs, a partner at Hatteras Venture Partners, describes the funding environment for life sciences companies as asset-centric and risk-averse. In this environment, investors are more interested in specific assets, such as drug compounds that are in or nearing clinical trials, rather than a broad platform technology that could be a riskier bet and take longer to validate. Scruggs understands that the operating environment firsthand as both an investor and the CEO of AskBio, CEO of Altis Biosystem, which provides services to early stage firms through its pre-medical drug screening system. You have a lot of companies that have been really tight on their budgets, and so that aspect has really impacted just what capital flows look like in general, Scruggs said. Meanwhile, the laboratories of universities such as UNC Chapel Hill have also felt intense pressure this year amid cuts to federal research funding. It may be years before the impact of these cuts and the uncertainty of future funding to the Triangle's research talent is fully understood. I fear for 2 or 3 years from now that we might be in a technology catch-up race, said Doug Edgton, CEO of the North Carolina Biotechnology Center, and that in the process, people might be migrating away from science. With federal grants more difficult to secure, small companies and university researchers are turning to other sources. NC Biotech, for instance, has seen a tenfold in its number of applications for research grants it makes to universities. Universities play a vital role in the Triangle's life sciences industry, with technology spinning out of universities and serving as the basis for startups. But this is an area of development where capital can be difficult to access, especially in a climate where investors are more interested in late-stage assets. Cape Fear BioCapital launched last year to support more companies spinning out of the university labs. The long-term goal is to help create 40 companies over the next decade with science that progresses and draws in additional investors, Austerout said. Let's take the 40 best ideas we have in our universities, the 40 best people we can find that can build these companies and fund them and do it right, Austerout said, and then ask ourselves on the other side of the decade, can we get to 400? Cape Fear, which has made 5 investments this year, is one of the firms trying to bring additional capital into an area that has consistently lagged other major biotech hubs. We have a lot of really strong scientific substrate, and the amount of capital that we have on the ground here is probably insufficient to fund everything that is worthy of getting funded, Scruggs said. This is slowly changing. Even compared to 5 years ago, there are more investors paying attention to the triangle, including new firms emerging or outside firms setting up operations with one or two partners based locally. For example, NC Biotech and other partners helped attract more than $4 billion in venture capital funding to North Carolina between 2020 and 2025 and aims to add another $5 billion over the next 5 years. I think having local investors syndicate with outside investors is what's going to continue to fuel companies that are on the ground here, Scruggs said. Vacancy rates rise. Amid a challenging environment, vacancy rates for life sciences properties in the Triangle have increased, reaching 32.3% in the second quarter. This increase was also driven by large buildings of 100,000 square feet or more recently coming online, according to a recent report from Cushman & Wakefield. These large facilities, designed to meet U.S. Food and Drug Administration requirements for pharmaceutical production, are typically built for single tenants. Meanwhile, many of the pharma companies investing in large manufacturing spaces in the Triangle are opting to build their own facilities. Most of the life sciences companies signing leases are taking up smaller spaces over a 12-month period leading up to Cushman & Wakefield's recent report. 79.5% of all life sciences leases were for 20,000 square feet or smaller. However, Pathway Triangle, King Street Properties Life Sciences campus in Morrisville, has seen 2 large leases this year. Local biopharma company Liquidia in June leased 70,000 square feet at the campus to support the commercial rollout of its lead drug, Yutrepia. And in November, Novartis leased 202,000 square feet at Pathway Triangle as part of a $771 million investment to grow its manufacturing operations in the Triangle. Despite the uptick in vacancy for all life sciences properties, the Triangle is not experiencing the same oversupply problems with lab space as some other larger markets where developers overbuilt as biotech funding reached record highs during the pandemic. In some of the bigger markets, a lot of new developers moved in during the hype who weren't lab developers but saw that the lab space was growing, said Blake Stevens, Senior Vice President and Research Triangle Regional Market Director at Alexandria Real Estate. Alexandria is one of the Triangle's largest developers of laboratory and office space for the life sciences industry. Since 2019, Alexandria has tripled its footprint in Research Triangle Park from 1.3 million square feet to 3.7 million square feet. But with venture funding slowed, startups that raised cash a few years ago are having trouble raising money again. Some companies are hitting the rocks. Some companies are doing okay, and some companies are doing great, Stephen said. In general, there's probably more companies having a hard time now than there were 4 or 5 years ago. Given these challenges, Alexandria is taking a hard look at its markets, such as the Triangle. For example, Alexandria in September sold a fully leased building on Keystone Park Drive in Morrisville to Edgewater Ventures. Although the facility was near the edge of RTP, it was not on Alexandria's mega campus, which generates most of its revenue. Alexandria also in the third quarter classified a roughly 105-square-foot building at 7 Triangle Drive as held for sale, meaning the company is preparing the building to go to the market. The facility was previously home to Medigago, a vaccine developer that shut down in 2023. Despite a challenging environment, people continue to need new forms of therapies. 2025 has been a really tough, challenging year for the life sciences industry, Stephen said, but fundamentally, innovation is accelerating. Booming biomanufacturing. The Triangle has emerged as one of the main hubs in the U.S. for biomanufacturing. This has led pharma and biotech companies to pledge billions of dollars worth of investments, leading to the potential creations of thousands of jobs. In 2024, announced expansions or new facilities totaled more than $10.8 billion, led by Novo Nordisk's plan planned $4.1 billion investment in Johnston County. The pace of investments has slowed this year amid uncertainty around tariffs and research funding. Still, the Triangle has seen some movement this year with Genentech, a subsidiary of Swiss multinational healthcare company Roche Holding AG, announcing plans in May to invest $700 million in a new manufacturing facility in Holly Springs. Biogen, one of the largest biotech employers in the Triangle, announced a $2 billion investment in its RTP facilities in July. Given the overall slowdown, NC Biotech's Edgton said another $6 billion of announcements in 2026 would make for a good year. While North Carolina has become a leader for pharma production, Edgton said it would be beneficial to also bring more research and development into the state. Manufacturing is an easier pitch for economic development given the size of the investments and the number of jobs involved, compared to research and development, which could include a lab and office space for about 25 people. But Alexandria Stevens said research and development helps drive innovation that benefits the ecosystem in the long term. These major manufacturing investments draw attention to the Triangle that could benefit the rest of the life sciences industry, with more large pharma companies paying more attention to the Triangle, Austerout said. They start paying attention to us because they start to see some of the other parts that come naturally through having that proximity to manufacturing, Austerout said. These manufacturing investments could also benefit the Triangle when it comes to producing additional talent and keeping that talent in the region. People who go into those manufacturing roles, they're not necessarily going to be the people that you hire when you have the skeleton crew of half a dozen people to get a company off the ground, Scruggs said. But when you're trying to fill roles of a company that's at more of a growth stage, you have a much bigger pool to dip into. One of the challenges with all of these manufacturing facilities coming online in the coming years will be whether the workforce pipeline is able to keep up. While this is not as much of a challenge for AskBio, given its specific gene therapy niche, it is a challenge other companies are grappling with. People who run traditional manufacturing facilities have started to reach a little bit of too much competition for the same resources, said AskBio CEO Gustavo Pesquin. Missing pieces. AskBio, a spin-out of UNC Chapel Hill, co-founded by Jude Samulski and Sheila McHale, is one of the Triangle's most prominent biotech success stories in recent years. Bayer acquired the biotech company for $4 billion, but it has remained based in the Triangle, where it now has 271 employees. More acquisitions of this type, where the acquired company remains in the area, could help further grow the Triangle's life sciences ecosystem. If we could get another one of those, a startup company that gets bought by bigger company, stays and grows, I think those are just really awesome for the market, Stevens said. While most other biotechs spend much of their time raising funds, AskBio is well-resourced and can focus on advancing pipeline of gene therapies. These large corporations have a large number of resources that you will never build as a biotech, Pesquin said. AskBio is an example of what the Triangle does well, with the research taking place at local universities and that the science talent these institutions produce. We are the de facto Southeast rare disease hub, Austerout said. We do rare disease really well. We obviously do gene therapy, gene editing extremely well. But in addition to the lack of capital, the Triangle has less experienced management talent compared to other larger biotech hubs like Boston and San Francisco, Scruggs said. We have a lot of people who have served in a lot of roles in the life sciences space, but you get a lot of first-time entrepreneurs, Scruggs said. I think that's the aspect that is different for us compared to more mature life sciences ecosystems. This challenge, however, has gotten easier as more small companies have learned how to operate fully or partially since the pandemic. Alexandria has several companies in its portfolio with executives based elsewhere, while their research and development operations are based in the Triangle, Stevens said. Building up the Triangle's management talent is also a priority of Cape Fear with its early stage investments, Austerout said. The goal is to mint another group of management teams here, he said. Many of the issues the local life sciences ecosystem is experiencing are reflective of the broader macro level strains on the industry. But unlike other major biotech hubs, the Triangle is missing the large homegrown companies that persist through these challenges. Yet the Triangle has seen its share of successes with companies like G1 Therapeutics, which spun out of UNC and successfully developed an oncology product through regulatory approval and a commercial launch before being acquired for $405 million last year. As I think about our local ecosystem, we need a flywheel effect, Austerout said. We need something at the center of it. I'm all optimism for it. It's just really hard work. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by Dane Huffman. Colorful murals enhance properties. Raleigh's Ridgewood Shopping Center is the latest to receive public art. Simon Griffiths was a photographer for the NC State University yearbook, positioned under the basket in the national championship game in 1983 when Lorenzo Charles rose up and dunked right in front of him. Sports photography is all about skill and luck. As a photographer is peering through a viewfinder, Griffiths was thrilled to find that he captured the moment and in focus. Ever since, his work has captured and reflected the growth and evolution of the Triangle. Now, Griffiths leads the production of new murals in public spaces, with the most recent being at Ridgewood Shopping Center in Raleigh. That one has playful trees gracing the sides of buildings. Griffiths said Regency Centers, the Jacksonville, Florida firm whose national portfolio includes Ridgewood, has recognize the benefit and the improved livability and community that it creates. It showed that Regency cares about walls connecting to the community rather than being blank walls. Griffiths actually finished NC State with a degree in civil engineering, but dove into photography after school. He had studios in Raleigh doing commercial and fine art photography when someone from Regency asked for his opinion on a mural. That feedback led to a variety of jobs, both with Regency and with Lincoln Property Company. I'm kind of curating, project managing, art directing, budgeting, basically the intermediate between the talents, the clients and the artists, he said. Projects have ranged from New Jersey to Connecticut to Atlanta, and Griffiths and his artists look to make the murals playful and fun. At Ridgewood, for example, he saw a dog walking by and looked and took its photograph. Now the dog is part of the mural. To Griffith, a blank wall is dull, and a mural can add fresh energy to the space. It ties it all together, he said. New look at Village District. Holiday shoppers at Raleigh's oldest shopping center are in for a bit of a skyline shock as the Village District is getting a dramatic new look. The seven-story Oberlin Hotel is taking shape where the K&W cafeteria once lived. The Oberlin Hotel is scheduled to open in 2026, and the exterior of the building is in plain view now as the Village District heads into the busy holiday season. The former Cameron Village dates to 1949 and largely retains the two-story structures that date to Willie York's original vision. Quality Oil Company of the Triad is the hotel's developer and management company. Big soccer summer ahead in Charlotte. Major League Soccer has been highly popular in Charlotte, and this summer will be one to remember in the Queen City. Charlotte will host the league's All-Star Game on July 29 at Bank of America Stadium. Of course, soccer will be front and center next summer as the Men's World Cup opens June 11 and will be played at sites throughout North America. The championship will be July 19 in East Rutherford, New Jersey. UNC adds space near U.S. Capitol. UNC Chapel Hill is expanding its reach, this time, to Capitol Hill. Washington Business Journal reported that Carolina has leased 11,000 square feet at 101 Constitution Avenue Northwest. UNC's 10-year lease is meant to support academic programs, host alumni events, and host some federal affairs staff, according to a university representative. The building is the closest commercial office to the Capitol and is owned by the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America. The university, which also offers a program for students to spend a semester in D.C., expects to move into the space in March, the representative said. And finally, Bain Capital buys owner of high-profile golf clubs. The owner of a pair of high-profile golf clubs in Wake County is now under the banner of a private equity giant as part of a deal that tops $1 billion in value. Bain Capital of Boston is acquiring private club operator Concert Golf Partners from Clear Lake Capital. Concert has 39 properties across the country, including McGregor Downs Country Club in Cary. the club at 12 Oaks in, and the club at 12 Oaks in Holly Springs. The portfolio also includes the club at Longview South in Charlotte. The transaction values Concert Golf, headquartered in Lake Mary, Florida, at $1.3 billion, according to Bloomberg. Concert acquired 12 Oaks in 2018 for $4.25 million. It bought McGregor Downs in 2014 for $3.4 million. 12 Oaks is a Jack Nicklaus design course. Established in 1967, McGregor Downs was designed by William Byrd and features a three-story clubhouse. The initiation fee at McGregor Downs is $20,000, while at 12 Oaks it is $10,000, according to Triangle Business Journal's list of the priciest country clubs in the greater Triangle area. And now we turn to our top news stories in the Triangle Business Journal. The first one, written by Zach Ezzone. Raleigh firm sold to GE Healthcare in $2 billion deal. Global giant plans to accelerate local company's annual top-line growth. GE Healthcare, a nearly $20 billion global medical technology firm, is acquiring Raleigh-based medical imaging software provider Intelerad for $2.3 billion. The transaction supports GE Healthcare's expansion into outpatient enterprise imaging, which the company says is a more than $2 billion opportunity globally. Intelerad was founded in Montreal, Canada, and has its U.S. operations in Raleigh with an office at Midtown Plaza in North Hills. The company acquired Durham-based Heart Imaging Technologies in 2021 as part of a series of acquisitions. The company has more than 600 employees globally. The deal is expected to close the first half of 2026. Then Intelerad's majority stakeholder, HG Capital, and investor, TA Associates, will fully exit their investments in the company. Intelerad's significant presence in the outpatient ambulatory care settings complements GE Healthcare's focus in hospital-based imaging, the company said in a statement. Our acquisition of Intelerad will bring additional cloud-enabled and intelligent solutions in radiology and cardiology into our portfolio of products and extend our capabilities into outpatient networks, enabling care teams to be more efficient, improve outcomes, and deliver precision care for patients globally, said GE Healthcare CEO Peter Arduini. GE Healthcare estimates Intelerad will generate about $270 million in revenue in its first full year of ownership. Intelerad is growing in the low double-digit range annually, which GE Healthcare expects to accelerate with this transaction. The company expects the acquisition to be immediately accretive to top-line growth. Intelerad's revenue has increased by more than 3.5 times during HG Capital's ownership, according to a statement from the investor. Intelerad has more than 1,500 global customers, supporting more than 230 million exams per year and managing 8 billion medical images across its network. GE Healthcare reported nearly $19.7 billion in revenue for 2024. Rooftop Raleigh Hotel Restaurant eyes revival. Denver Hospitality Group is managing the future Indigo Hotel with dining options. And this article is written by Kate Tracy. A 360-degree view of Raleigh to go with dinner could soon be back on the menu downtown. The Round Holiday Inn on Hillsborough Street is being converted into a Hotel Indigo, a brand under IHG Hotels and Resorts, with the goal of opening in late 2026. As part of the project, the top-floor restaurant is also making progress toward reopening. Permits filed with the city show plans for a kitchen renovation valued at more than $241,000. The project involves installing new equipment and receiving new finishes. Sage Hospitality Group, based in Denver, is managing the future Hotel Indigo. Sage has not provided details regarding the 20th floor restaurant. Sage lists a number of restaurants and bars that it owns and manages across the country. On the East Coast, those include Golden Owl Tavern in Charlotte, Braddock's Rebellion in Pittsburgh, Peregrine, Bowerbird Savannah, Emporium Kitchen and Wine Market, and the Wayward Bar in Savannah, Georgia, and The Study in Alexandria, Virginia. In a drastic about-face earlier this year, the Holiday Inn's owner, development firm Title Real Estate Partners of New York, ditched plans to demolish the hotel and build a new Kimpton Hotel along with apartments on the site. Instead, Title decided to renovate the iconic building and applied for a historic designation for the property, which is still pending with the city. Architecture firm ESA of Nashville, Tennessee, and a general contracting firm John Moriarty and Associates of Virginia are heading up the project. The Holiday Inn was completed in 1969, according to the hotel's historic landmark application. The 12 signs restaurant served guests on the top floor, including dinners that started at $5 per person and a $250 annual membership to its observatory club bar. And now we turn to the reporter pages inside the Triangle Business Journal. We begin with Kaylee Thompson's page, Real Estate and Development. New North Hills Tower scores big. Raleigh private equity firm takes top floor of North Hills Tower. The top floor of the newest office tower in North Hills is about to be fully occupied. Raleigh developer Kane Realty Corporation has filed a building permit with the city for an interior upfit of the entire 10th floor of its One North Hills building. The permit shows the tenant will be QHP Capital, a private equity firm based in Raleigh that focuses on the healthcare sector. QHP Capital is one of the largest investment firms in the Triangle, with more than $3 billion in assets under management, according to Triangle Business Journal data. The firm's new office suite will be about 31,000 square feet, with the upfit valued at more than $3.7 million. QHP Capital did not respond to multiple requests to clarify whether this is an expansion or relocation. The company's current office is in the Crabtree Terrace building across from Crabtree Valley Mall. The North Hills office market is performing better than the Triangle region as a whole. Vacancy rates, including sublease space, remained above 20% across the region in Q3. The 10-story One North Hills building has 264,000 square feet of space and is about 85% leased, including QHP's lease, according to LoopNet. That percentage might go up soon. Kane Realty filed another building permit for the interior renovation of the remaining 17,724 square feet of office space on the second floor. That permit is valued at $2.2 million, but does not list the tenant. There's only one full floor of space, the third level, remaining in the building. QHP will be located above the ninth floor offices of Jewelers Mutual Group, which opened recently. Last year, tobacco company JTI moved its U.S. headquarters from New Jersey to the seventh floor of One North Hills, taking up about 17,000 square feet. Coastal developer eyes $50 million Raleigh project. A developer out of Beaufort has submitted site plans to the city for Battle Bridge, a 200-unit senior living community to be located just east of the intersection of Rock Quarry and Battle Bridge Roads in southeast Raleigh. Keith Walker, president and CEO of East Carolina Community Development, said southeast Raleigh was selected because of the explosion of growth there. Half of the units will have one bedroom, half will have two. Rental rates will be designated affordable to those making 80% or less of the area median income. And Walker said that the majority of residents who live in the company's communities are between the ages of 55 and 75. The project will cost approximately $50 million and is funded via public and private partnerships. Wake County is providing $4.5 million loan. And the city of Raleigh is providing a $5 million loan. A federal loan home bank award for $1.25 million, a construction loan for $22.45 million, and about $15 million in equity comprise the rest of the funding. And finally, fully leased industrial building sells. Denver-based Ares Management Corporation acquired an industrial building near McCrimmon Parkway in Morrisville for $28.4 million, according to Wake County deed records. The building was owned by EQT Real Estate of Pennsylvania, which bought it in 2021 for $16.1 million. The industrial building at 120 Trans Air Drive is the Raleigh location of AmerisourceBergen Drug Corporation of Pennsylvania. The company is the sole tenant of the 163,608 square foot building. AmerisourceBergen Drug Corporation is under the parent company, AmerisourceBergen, which rebranded to Cencora in 2023. The one-story industrial building was built in 1997 and is on 9.5 acres. Its total assessed value is $19.7 million. And now we turn to Lauren Onosorge's page, Economic Development and Finance. NC snags 3,000-plus jobs in 48 hours. Local talent pool played a major role in winning the Triangle projects. In just 2 days during the week of November 17, North Carolina scored 5 economic development wins worth $3,345 jobs and $1.8 billion in investment. Behind those headlines were months of lobbying, late-night calls, site visits, and contract revisions. Aspida Financial, Vulcan Elements, Maersk, Novartis, and Fit Precast each chose North Carolina despite fierce competition from other states, and officials across the state are already chasing the next big project. I hope we can get a few more done by the end of the year, North Carolina Commerce Secretary Lee Lilly said. For weeks, Matthew Gladick, Vice President of Economic Development at the Durham Chamber of Commerce, was biting his tongue as one of the few people in the state keeping a big secret. The Triangle was in line for 1,700 jobs. Aspida Financial, a homegrown Durham firm, and Novartis Gene Therapeutics, a pharma giant with an existing presence in Durham, were inching closer to a major announcement. Aspida was weighing Durham for a 1,000-job headquarters. Novartis was considering a manufacturing operation that could bring 700 jobs to Durham and Mooresville. Chris Johnson, Economic Development Director for Johnston County, could relate. For 6 months, he had been negotiating with Vulcan Elements, a rare earth magnet manufacturer, scouting sites for a 1,000-job facility. The company, which operates a pilot plant in Durham, was weighing North Carolina against Ohio. Commerce Secretary Lilly said all 5 wins came down to talent. Vulcan Elements got a better financial offer from Ohio, he said. It was top-level talent that sealed the deal, Lilly said. Gladick said Aspida and Novartis already had roots in the region and strong community ties. In Charlotte, the airport and workforce availability helped to tip the scales for Maersk. And finally, SBIR freeze weighs on startups officials. Officials fear a funding freeze in Washington could divert innovation elsewhere, including from startups that could be critical to the United States' efforts to face off against China's legacy supply chain. Durham-based Vulcan Elements, which chose Johnston County for its 1,000-job commercial manufacturing facility, is working to level the playing field by producing rare earth magnets, components that for now largely come from Asia. Domestic production could help the U.S. lock down its supply chain. Like many Triangle startups, Vulcan Elements got an early boost from federal dollars, nearly $1.2 million from the Department of Energy through the Small Business Innovation Research Program, or SBIR. SBIR was designed to provide non-dilutive funding to startups, helping to turn ideas into products. But on September 30, the program came to a halt after Congress failed to reauthorize it. The same fate hit the Small Business Technology Transfer Program, which funds collaborations between small businesses and research institutions. Together, the programs make up America's Seed Fund, the nation's largest source of early-stage funding for technology development and commercialization. North Carolina offers some matching dollars through the One North Carolina Small Business Program, administered by the Department of Commerce. It's a program that over the course of its history has had over 250 times the return on its investment, said Lee Lilly, North Carolina's Commerce Secretary. If the grants don't return, we're going to miss out on companies like Vulcan Elements, and that's a problem, he says. The House passed a 1-year extension in September, but the bill has yet to move forward in the Senate as lawmakers argue over permanent reforms. And our next reporter page is written by Ben Tobin, Greater Triangle. Selma rejects plan for apartments. Local leaders express reservations over the town growing too quickly. The Selma Town Council voted 4-1 during a specially called meeting November 21 to deny a conditional rezoning request of 11.75 acres at 179 Outlet Center Drive in Selma, which would have paved the way for a 115-unit apartment complex development. The applicant was TWG Development, a real estate development firm based in Indianapolis. The land sits off Interstate 95 and I-42, close to the Eastfield Crossing development, a 3 million-square-foot project that includes retail, housing, office space, and more. TWG Development's project called Waterbury Gardens would have included 5 3-story apartment buildings and a clubhouse. During the November 21 meeting, Selma Mayor Byron McAllister referenced nearby housing projects such as the 348-unit Eastfield Village Apartments being built and said, "I don't think it's wise to continue to add any more big housing projects. When we're talking about an apartment complex that could house 115 folks, it's not a bad idea in a vacuum," McAllister said. "But in the big picture of what's actually happening in this community right now, I'm confident in saying we're not prepared for it." Alex Frazier, a senior development director with TWG Development, did not respond to requests seeking comment about the Selma Town Council's decision to deny the apartment complex. He previously told Triangle Business Journal that monthly rents would be set at 60% of the area median income under the North Carolina Housing and Finance Authority guidelines, with the intention of attracting police officers, new teachers, and others with Johnston County who want a more affordable housing option. A majority of the council members ultimately voted against the project. As of 2023, the U.S. Census Bureau estimated that Selma's population was just above 6,600. In Granville County, a concrete plant in Oxford sells for millions. The property that holds a concrete plant in a growing county north of Durham has been sold for millions, but the timing is notable. ECPP, an LLC that shares an address with holding company Eagle Corporation of Charlottesville, Virginia, bought the concrete pipe and precast facility at 3800 Oxford Loop Road in Oxford for a little more than $4.1 million in October, according to Granville County deed records. Eagle Corporation owns concrete pipe and precast, which has more than a dozen facilities in the southeast and mid-Atlantic states. In September, Commercial Metals Company of Texas announced it had entered an agreement to acquire concrete pipe and precast from Eagle Corporation and ECPP for $675 million in cash. The closing of the transaction is expected to occur in a timely manner following customary regulatory review and subject to customary closing conditions, CMC said in a release announcing the purchase. The Oxford plant previously belonged to Gate Precast, which in late 2023 announced plans to shutter the facility. But in July 2024, Concrete Pipe and Precast announced the facility had been added to its network. Eagle Corporation did not respond to inquiries about the recent transaction. And finally, developers scraps Sanford townhomes. This is in Lee County. After initially pitching a townhome development in Sanford, a Cary developer is transitioning to single-family homes. Site Advice Incorporated has submitted an application with the Sanford-Lee County Broadway Technical Review Committee for a subdivision called Regent's Crossing. The plan calls for 60 single-family detached homes on more than 36 acres off Commerce Drive. The group was approved for a plan earlier this year that called for 125 townhomes on the land. John Woodleaf, a principal with Site Advice Incorporated, told Triangle Business Journal that a shift in market demand caused the change in the project. "We have made this decision based on empirical evidence suggesting an abrupt downturn in townhome demand within the secondary and tertiary markets across the triangle," Woodleaf said. "We are hoping to offer a variety of single-family home products with front and rear loaded garage access, as well as a number of basement lots." Woodleaf said that prices should start in the low $400,000s and the first home should be available by late spring 2027. This project isn't the only recent one in Sanford that has shifted from townhomes to single-family homes, citing market demand. Last month, Rollingdale Investments submitted plans for 125 single-family detached homes on roughly 40 acres off Carthage Street. Previously, the firm had submitted a plan for 119 townhomes on the property. And along with this article, we also have a big number, $360,000. Median sales price for single-family homes in Lee County in October, according to Dorify MLS, up 6.5% from the same month in 2024. And now we turn to Zach Ezone's page, Healthcare and Life Sciences. UNC Health looks to rezone hospital campus. Plans reflect health systems' efforts to expand statewide footprint. The Rex Hospital campus in Raleigh is being prepped for a significant expansion amid the highly competitive healthcare landscape in the region. UNC Health plans to file a rezoning request to have the 61-acre property changed to Campus Master Plan District, or CMP, from office mixed use up to 12 stories. The health system earlier this year secured state approval to add 20 acute care beds at Rex Hospital. In August, the health system filed an application with the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services to add another 106 beds within a new patient bed tower, a project expected to cost nearly $100 million. Alan Wolf, director of media relations for UNC Health, said the health system has been wanting to expand the Rex campus for several years. Rex has been in our current location for more than 40 years, and we need to update our infrastructure to meet current and expected demand, Wolf said. Wolf said the health system plans to file the rezoning application by early 2026. The Rex campus totals nearly 2 million square feet and was built in 1978. Parts of the hospital have been renovated over the years along with equipment upgrades, but due to the current zoning, UNC Health has been limited in what it can do. CMP is a special zoning district that can only be applied to colleges, hospitals, or other campus-like uses. The new zoning could make the UNC Rex property exempt from some UDO standards, but it means the health system would have to provide more detailed site design up front. The rezoning would be for 2810 Blue Ridge Road and 4220 and 4401 Lake Boone Trail. The parcels have a combined assessed value of $395.7 million. UNC Health has been on expansion mode. It is seeking to build a 129-bed hospital in the Asheville area that will cost about $700 million. It is also planning emergency facilities in Garner, Apex, and North Raleigh. UNC Health will also expand its Holly Springs Hospital by adding 24 observation beds. Raleigh Medical Group preps IPO. Raleigh-based Lumexa Imaging Holdings Incorporated, that's spelled L-U-M-E-X-A, formerly known as U.S. Radiology Specialist, has filed paperwork with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission as it pursues a listing on the NASDAQ under the symbol LMRI. The preliminary filing did not specify a target amount for the offering. Lumexa, which changed its name earlier this year, was formed in 2018 by Charlotte Radiology and private equity firm Welsh, Carson, Anderson & Stowe. Since then, the company and its affiliates have grown to operate 184 outpatient imaging centers across 13 states. Early this year, Lumexa brought on Caitlin Zula, a veteran healthcare executive, as CEO. Through the first 9 months of 2025, the company generated $755 million in revenue, up from $701 million during the same period last year. Lumexa generated $948.87 million in revenue in 2024, per the filing. At the end of September, the company had 4,064 full-time, 271 part-time, and 684 as-needed employees, according to the filing, which is preliminary until reviewed and declared effective by the SEC. Lumexa plans to use the proceeds from the offering to pay down a portion of its $1.2 billion in outstanding borrowings and to support working capital, capital expenditures, and other general corporate purposes, according to the filing. And finally, UNC Health names new chief executive. Dr. Christy Page was officially named the new CEO of UNC Health and Dean of the UNC School of Medicine by the UNC System Board of Governors as of November 24. Page has served in both positions on an interim basis since former CEO Dr. Wesley Burks announced the decision to step down earlier this year. Page, a graduate of the UNC Medical School, took over at a pivotal time for healthcare and higher education. UNC Health has sweeping expansion plans across the Triangle in North Carolina, including a multi-billion-dollar children's hospital in Apex in partnership with Duke University. Prior to becoming CEO, Page was president of UNC Health Enterprises and chief academic officer. In these roles, Page pursued strategic initiatives and partnerships for UNC Health while also leading the medical school's efforts in research, education, and clinical care. She is also a family medicine professor. And our last reporter page is Kate Tracy's Retail and Restaurants. Former Kmart site gets new tenants. CityPlat inks deals for retail and entertainment spaces in Raleigh Center. Less than a year after purchasing the former Kmart in Raleigh, local real estate firm CityPlat has leased all but one of its spaces amid renovations to the property. CityPlat previously announced a bowling and entertainment venue, coffee shop, and indoor golf tenant. Now the firm has added more tenants in its quest to create an active use and lifestyle destination. The first businesses will open during the second quarter of next year, with the entire center opening by the end of 2026. New on the scene is Gold's Gym, which is leasing 31,000 square feet at 4500 Western Boulevard, according to CityPlat partner Vincenzo Verdino. The gym will be the third in the triangle, joining locations in Chapel Hill and Fuquay Varina. Final Score, a basketball facility that will host tournaments and offer skill development, is taking approximately 20,000 square feet in the former Grand Slam USA space. Final Score is affiliated with the nonprofit Capital City Clutch, a co-ed AAU travel basketball club. Nail Lab, a popular beauty spa with a full beverage bar, is also taking space at the project, with services like champagne and rosé pedicure, CBD cannabis pedicure, and a wide-ranging beverage menu. CityPlat still has 2,200 square feet of space to fill with a grease trap, making it ideal for a restaurant. Other tenants include 810 Billiards and Bowling, Vavila Cafe, a Turkish-inspired cafe with one location in Charlotte, and Mythic Golf, an independently owned indoor golf venue. Renovations are still in the ballpark of $5 million to $6 million. In addition, the firm is seeking a rezoning to allow for mixed-use development on the front half of the site along Western Boulevard within the next 2 to 5 years. Most of the retail tenants have signed 10-year leases in the former Kmart space. And new to Raleigh, California fashion brand lands at North Hills. Reformation, headquartered near Los Angeles, has leased 2,092 square feet of space and plans to open in the first half of 2026 in the North Hills main district. The brand's dresses range in price from $98 to $980, while jeans are $348 on the high end and $168 on the low end, according to Reformation's website. Sandwiched between J. Crew and the future location of women's apparel brand Veronica Beard, Reformation joins a growing number of new stores in the main district. California-based jeweler Gorgiana plans to open next to True Food Kitchen, while Chanel Fragrance and Beauty Boutique opened earlier this year. The beauty brand Sephora is coming soon as well, as is the restaurant 60 Vines. This will be Reformation's second store in North Carolina, with its other location in Charlotte's South Park Mall. Backed by private equity firm Permira, Reformation has been in growth mode across the country, setting out 2 years ago to open 10 to 15 locations annually. Reformation has stores in 23 states, including Virginia, South Carolina, and New York on the East Coast. Yael Aflalo founded Reformation in 2009. The company has a goal of using recycled materials in its apparel and sells dresses, shirts, pants, wedding apparel, and accessories. National burger chain eyes third Raleigh outpost. Whataburger, headquartered in San Antonio, is eyeing a location at 6010 Glenwood Avenue in Northwest Raleigh near Pleasant Valley Promenade, according to a sketch plan review filed with the City of Raleigh. The sketch plan calls for the demolition of the existing building, formerly a FastMed urgent care, and replacing it with a Whataburger restaurant with a drive-thru. Prior to FastMed, the 3,476-square-foot building was home to a casual male XL store and a big and tall casual male store, according to property records. Munford Properties LLC owns the property, built in 1975. The building is on 0.96 acres with a total assessed value of $1.1 million, property records show. Civil engineering firm Timmins Group filed the sketch plan review for Whataburger. A Whataburger location is under construction on Six Forks Road in Raleigh, and another is planned for a former PDQ at 6305 Falls of Neuse Road. And finally, celebrity chef-inspired carry restaurant closes. LM Restaurants has closed a Verde Cochina and Tequila Library at 2300 Walnut Street near Carey's Crossroads Plaza. Celebrity chef and Top Chef alumnus Katsuji Tanabe and LM Restaurants opened a Verde in 2022, serving dishes inspired by Tanabe's Mexican and Japanese backgrounds. Catherine Goldfaden, vice president of brand strategy with LM, said the Raleigh-based hospitality group decided to close a Verde for multiple reasons. "We never take closing a store lightly. It's something we agonize over, but at the end of the day, it was not meeting the financial goals that we needed it to hit," she said. LM Restaurants was able to relocate all of Averde's hourly employees to other locations. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the Executive Voice Q&A column. This one features CJ Mann. In a closer look, title, co-founder of Raleigh Raised Development, age 41, family, wife, and two sons, age 5 and 6. Education, B.S., General Science, Morehouse College, B.S., Civil Engineering, Master's, Urban Planning, University of Michigan. First job with his father's trucking company. When C.J. Mann was in high school at Cardinal Gibbons, he looked forward to getting out of Raleigh, where his family has deep roots. But after seeing his family struggle and the increase in development, he chose to return after completing his master's degree. "I would come back to Raleigh. I would see the changes, the new mixed-use developments, the new walkable spaces, new parks, more renovation of parks, and rehabilitation to certain areas. And that made me get more interested in coming back to Raleigh to do business," Mann said. "But I became really involved and interested in development because I saw the changes that Raleigh was up against. I'm from here, so I saw it all from 1980s to now, and so I wanted to be involved in the change because if anyone should have a voice and be an advocate for the change, I thought it should be me." After he moved back in 2010, he started working at his dad's acquisition company that focused on state and federal highway projects. During that time is when he reconnected with Terrell Midget, who had a company that did facility maintenance. Over the next 9 years, while partnering on various projects, the two discussed the changes Raleigh was going through and what it would look like if they started their own development company. In 2019, Midget revealed he had been having the same type of conversations with NC Central University basketball coach Lavelle Moten, which led to a meeting between the three. From there, Raleigh Raised Development came to life in 2020. "We said, let's form a company that can change Raleigh because we're all from here and we didn't know of a company like the one that we proposed to create in Raleigh Raised," Mann said. "You had two projects, cottages of Idlewild and Holt at Oberlin, break ground within weeks of each other. What's that like to juggle?" "The challenges would be finding people that we trust to do business with that we can hire as a growing company to manage our projects." "What's coming in 2026? "We're going to be continuing construction on the Holt and on the Idlewild project. On the construction management side of the company, we've got Brentwood Elementary that we will be partnering up with Wake County, and then also East Garner Middle School should break ground in 2026. Also in that division, we've got Perry Health Science Center with Wake Med and Wake Tech that we're doing with Brassfield and Gorey. The biggest project in 2026 is we're going to be co-developing Walnut Terraces with the Raleigh Housing Authority." "What are the challenges of being a smaller company?" "A positive is that we've got a lot of flexibility. So if we want to change the direction of what we're going in, we can do that at the drop of a dime. It's not like we've got to have a lot of buy-in from stakeholders or shareholders or board members. But that's also a negative, too, because we don't have a big machine behind us and we're new. The biggest challenge is capital. And then it's knowing where to leverage and input capital. Every decision as a small company really affects the bottom line." "What motivates you?" "My two children and my wife, and being able to know that my name will live forever by helping positive change in the city that I was born and raised in." "What's the best advice you've received?" "Treat every endeavor, every project that you get like it's your first. That keeps you motivated, hungry." "What are you reading?" "The Richest Man in Babylon by George Samuel Clayson and Talking to Strangers by Malcolm Gladwell. And with our remaining time with the Triangle Business Journal, we'll read as much as we can of the new 52 Shades of Success series, The Impact of AI. about this project, 52 Shades of Success, The Impact of AI, explores the challenges and opportunities of individuals and businesses that are trying to leverage the capabilities of artificial intelligence with an eye on combating bias and its functionality. We'll focus on AI's impact on various areas of business and life. This first article, Smarter AI Looks for Cultural Fit. As an avid traveler, Nicole DiNicola has seen how language and dialogue can vary, heightening her sense of the value of more nuanced AI. And this is written by Connie Gentry. An adventurous globetrotter, Nicole DiNicola was drawn to SmartCat's mission to make the world's ideas and innovations accessible to anyone, an appeal that was intensified by the tech company's unifying fabric of cultural and language diversity. As Global Vice President of Marketing, DiNicola is intent on leveraging that cultural and linguistic diversity to make the world, quote, a better, more connected place, unquote. Fundamentally, SmartCat uses AI to create, translate, and automate content in more than 280 languages. I've always been an avid traveler. I feel like when you take the time to understand different cultures, different ways of living, and go outside your comfort zone to meet people, then you realize people really aren't that different because we all have families and the same challenges, the same dreams, said DiNicola. Unlike SaaS companies, that's software as a service, SaaS companies, that are just now incorporating AI, SmartCat is an AI native platform that's been doing AI translations for years. And now we've moved beyond language to how we can help businesses become understood in any market. That's where the appreciation for cultural diversity comes into play, delivering the subtle but necessary differentiation between translation and localization of content. Direct translations don't always work. Our AI learns your brand, your tone, and we have glossaries that direct the platform to translate a word so it can be uniquely localized. Something else that's unique to SmartCat is that we have a human marketplace within our platform with over 500,000 linguists who can bring that human-in-the-loop review to make sure the AI translation is perfect for your market, she said. The company was founded in 2016 by Trek entrepreneur Ivan Smoltkov, who serves as CEO, operating from Boston. That's loosely defined as its headquarters, although SmartCat is an entirely remote operation with executives living wherever they choose. DiNicola leads her global marketing team of 20 from Raleigh. My team is all over the world across 6 different countries, and that's important for a company like ours that needs a global perspective, she said. SmartCat has 235 employees with key hubs in Boston, New York, San Francisco, London, and Lisbon. And we'll go ahead and stop there as we've actually run out of time for today's episode. But today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties with its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina. Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. And I hope you enjoyed our reading of the Triangle Business Journal. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. Again, I'm Derek Frost, reading for North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.